I would like to just briefly talk a little bit about what's been going on with me. As I mentioned earlier, we've been traveling around California this last month, and you know, talking with Joe, who's been vegan for so long, it makes me think about the vegan restaurants and products that were available 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago when some of us were looking around for them. And I was recently at the Staff of Life Market in Santa Cruz. And I used to go there in the 80s and 90s when I lived in California. And there was nowhere else to go for vegan food. And they had wonderful treats and desserts and sandwiches. It was always such a special place. And I was driving around Santa Cruz a few days ago, and I saw their new building that they moved to in 2011, and I went in and I was really delighted and surprised that I still felt this magical feeling in there. They just have a lovely atmosphere, and even though we're fortunate to have so many more grocery stores, supermarkets that have wonderful vegan products today, I was glad to feel that there was still something special at the Staff of Life Market. Okay, let us move to my next guest, Julie Guerraseva, the founder of Leica Magazine. Welcome to It's All About Food, Julie. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I want to hear more about your vegan lifestyle magazine, Leica. It's especially fun to talk to you now because I was just talking to Jo Stepaniak. I don't know if you know of her. But she has created so many cookbooks and was really created so much groundwork for many other cookbook authors and chefs to build upon. She had so many great cheesy recipes and saucy recipes decades ago, and I've just seen so much evolution from her, so it's kind of fun to talk about that. And now we're talking to you, and you have this new great magazine and talking about all of the new vegan entrepreneurs and people that are out there moving this movement forward.
Yeah, so Leica is essentially what you're describing. It's a showcase of the vibrancy and how relevant and contemporary the vegan movement is, and the magazine in particular, Leica. What's a little unique about it is that it has a really wide range of content. So there's profiles of really compelling individuals within the vegan movement, celebrities who are very outspoken about being vegan, like Kat Von D, who's on the cover of the newest issue, which is the sixth edition. So the magazine is young, but it's now in its sixth issue. And then alongside of that, there's very candid and unflinching investigative stories, investigative journalism, and reporting on animals, the situation they're in, and also the complexity of their lives. So it's presenting animals in a whole new light alongside human beings. So it's showcasing the vegan lifestyle and its, you know, incredible range that includes, you know, food and travel and fun stuff like that, as well as activism, or rights activism, and the lives of animals. So it's really showing the whole experience in a really immersive and compelling way. That's essentially what, you know, a mainstream magazine like Vanity Fair would do for, you know, human interest stories as a whole. So it's at the end of the day, it's an interesting magazine with very inventive, engaging stories on a wide range of topics that just happen to be vegan, which to me is the vegan experience in a nutshell. It's full of interesting people who live interesting lives, who in many ways are just like everybody else, but it's just that their lives happen to be, they happen to live their lives fully without relying in any way on the exploitation of animals, you know. So it's really a new kind of cutting edge model for living, which I think history of humankind is really pushing us towards, as world events are showing. So
I love that. Let's push more towards that. And the beauty in your magazine and about the vegan lifestyle is that there is no deprivation. We can
exactly.
have it all, and we can have more than it all. That's how I feel about it. I'm continually telling people when it comes
exactly.
to the food, you don't know how good you can feel. And
yeah, exactly. In fact, I would say, contrary to the stereotypes, it's not a lifestyle of deprivation. It's a lifestyle of liberation and freedom, because you're widening your horizons and your experiences in ways you didn't know existed before. After you like untangle yourself from all these status quos that actually limit our experience on this planet as human beings, you know, we're constantly putting kind of restrictions on ourselves in many ways, on how we interact with the rest of the world and being in touch with our feelings, which is also very stifling. As a vegan, you get to experience life fully, and you allow yourself to experience your full range of feelings as a human being, which includes compassion and empathy and kindness, you know, all those basic human emotions that we've kind of like, denied ourselves.
That's really good. It's almost when we remove the toxic food and the food that's coating our arteries and clogging our brain, physically we're clearing, we're detoxing, but it's also a clearing and detoxing and a clarity-giving experience for our emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a very multifaceted experience.
Right on. Go vegan. Period.
Yeah.
Now, you just have a few issues out. You're new. And I noticed in the 7 years of doing this program every week, talking to many different wonderful people, I have learned so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what have you learned since you started this magazine?
Oh my gosh, so much. I was actually thinking about that today, is that as a result of doing the magazine, how much I've learned about everything from like animal sentience, you know, the depth of their emotional world, to, you know, cutting edge activism techniques, to how to approach talking to people about veganism, about the vegan movement in different parts of the world, what's happening. It's sort of like I really intentionally go into material for each issue that is also new to me, because I want to learn new stuff. And with every issue, I'm just astounded by the wealth of information that is just, it's so just enriching and just gorgeous, like, information that I come across, like, I, you know, discovering that there's a vegan scene in Central and Eastern Europe and Prague and Warsaw that's like really dynamic, and they do interesting things there with their animal rights organizations that we might not be doing here. So the magazine is also a really intentional kind of vehicle for cross-pollination of ideas and experiences, so that someone, it has an international, it's available internationally, it has an international readership, and its content, although primarily dealing with topics, stories dealing in the United States, there's also tons of stuff from other parts of the world. So it's really like bringing together the global vegan experience, which is really fascinating.
You mentioned animal sentience before, and I love hearing these stories about other species. I was just talking with Jonathan Balcombe a few weeks ago with his new book, What a Fish Knows.
Oh, yeah, that's a great book.
It's such a great book, and I especially love the way he wrote it because I think it's very approachable or very appealing to even those people who are fish eaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're
exactly.
just lovely, amazing stories, but then I hope those that read it can make the leap. Fish are not friends. Fish are your friends, not food, everybody.
And that's what I try to do with every animal-related feature in Laika. I really aim to kind of humanize animals. Like, there's a story in the new issue called Enduring Bond that's all about really close friendships between animals. And I deliberately brought together stories from a multitude of sanctuaries from around the world. There's two international sanctuaries and five from all over the United States. And it's just mind-blowing the types of stories and the photographs that show the closeness that these animals experience that is so much like the human experience. Mm-hmm. That you read that, you know, you see that and you read those stories which show, like, the process of animals bonding, how they get to know each other, how they kind of gravitate towards certain kinds of animals, like they click with some, they don't click with others, just like people do. You know, they grieve over loss in a very overt way, just like human beings. So our experiences, we have so many commonalities, which is what the theme of the new issue is, which is the unity issue, which explores the commonalities between human beings and between us and the animal kingdom and planet Earth, and the importance of being unified. So
unity is a great concept right now. As humans, we're still struggling unifying with our own species. Mm-hmm. We're struggling with borders around countries.
Yeah.
You know, we all share the same home, planet Earth. We all breathe the same air, drink the same water, and yet we're still struggling with being unified within ourselves. This refugee crisis, the Brexit, the vote that just happened. We need unity.
So that was sort of it was a very organic kind of result from resulted from just living, seeing what's happening around the world, and also as a vegan movement, it's so important to be unified. And I think really the core of unity is just really honing in our commonalities, the most important things that tie us together. You know, we all share the same values at the end of the day. And those same values are important to animals, like happiness, feeling safe, safe from harm, enjoying your surroundings, valuing freedom, those very basic needs without which we can't live and which we all need. That's what unites us, and we can provide that for each other just by simply respecting one another, you know. So it's really about kind of striving for coexistence, which I think is the only way we're going to all survive on this planet. The only way our planet is going to survive is if we learn to coexist. So I think it's really important to put this kind of those kinds of messages out there. You know, this is my way of doing it with the magazine, and we can all do it every single day.
Again, I'm going to say I love this unity concept. I'm going to go with it here for a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, even vegans have challenges being unified within our own community. There's a lot of anger, and it's just something we definitely need to work on. But the idea of realizing all the things that we have in common on this planet is the only way we're really going to make connections. I'm thinking right now, I think it was 2 years ago, I was invited to speak to 250 cattle producers the night before a bull sale, and they were having a conversation about animal agriculture's contribution to global warming. And I went as the lone vegan. I was decked out in all my vegan cowboy wear. And I was trying to think, how can I have a conversation with these people and have them hear me? Which is really, that was my goal. I wasn't expecting them to change. I just wanted to be heard. And I focused on the things we all wanted. We all want clean air and good food to eat, and we all want good health, and we want peace. And it was really important to make that connection, because I don't think we can make change or move at all until we all like hold hands and realize what we all share, what we all want.
That's essentially it.
Yeah, unfortunately some people will say, well, what I want is bacon.
You know, it's a complex thing, and you know, there's a multitude of approaches. You know, I really believe in a diversity of tactics, and I believe in kind of disarming people with kindness and like listening to them, trying to understand them, because people get so defensive. I mean, food is probably the most personal, the most controversial topic, you know, possibly, you know, one of the most controversial for sure ever. People take it very personally. They see it as like a personal freedom. And, but these, if we take a step back and we just recognize that these are just society's status quos and social norms that have been imposed on people that, are not necessary, we just kind of deconstruct the situation, then it becomes a little easier to manage, so that, if someone is coming at you with the bacon jokes, you kind of stuck and realize like, well, you know, they're still under that state of kind of not seeing clearly and subscribing to these outdated status quos, but this is where I come in and I help them to come out of that. And, you know, that's another thing I've learned through the magazine, is just different techniques and different approaches, and there's so many different ways to handle it, but I really have so much I'm just an optimist by nature, but also because of my background. I was born in Russia. I grew up still in the under the communist, the communist regime was still intact. Oh. And I lived through that system, falling apart. So I saw with my own eyes a whole regime that was so ingrained in society just come tumbling down. And now that I'm vegan, and having been vegan for about 8 years, and everything I've learned, you know, I think back on that and I realize like anything is possible. What you think seems far-fetched, you know, don't assume that it's not possible. So I don't underestimate anybody. I believe that most people are capable of, you know, seeing the light, so to speak. It's just that some require a different approach. There's different approaches. You know, and I think, I'm thinking more of like, let's get to the tipping point, let's get to that 10%. And after that, I think momentum will really take over. And
absolutely. Well, you know, I think it's part of human nature. We're most of us are followers. Mm-hmm. And once we reach that tipping point, then yes, we will have this great momentum, because people will follow. And many of us in the first world, or however we call ourselves, developed, I don't even know what the PC word is today, for
Western
the nation.
Society.
Excuse me?
Western society.
Anyway, yeah. We have so many conveniences. People don't want to give up conveniences. They don't want to change. And when they begin to see that they can have it all, as I mentioned before, and it's easy, and they don't have to change very much, then they'll go for it naturally.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of like nudging people a little out of their comfort zones. And yes, change can be scary, but change is also like really exhilarating. People just don't give it a chance, you know. So it's just a matter of kind of like luring people over that line that they're afraid to cross. And before they even realize that they're like on the other side and they're enjoying themselves, you know. So yes, it's a huge challenge, you know. I'm not under any illusion that it's not a huge challenge. It is. But I believe that, you know, it's doable. It has to be. It has to be, because I don't think.
Okay. So the newest issue, where can people find it?
So people can get it at LaikaMagazine.com, L-A-I-K-A magazine.com, online. And then it's going to be available in about a week to 10 days on newsstands around the country and internationally, and various independent bookstores. So they can just check the site and check various social media pages that the magazine has, which are all on Instagram. The handle is Laika Magazine, and Twitter and Facebook, it's facebook.com/Laika Magazine to keep up with the latest stuff. We're going to be putting out more like exclusive behind the scenes videos from our cover shoot and other fun stuff. And I'm really proud of this issue. I think it's really inspiring and uplifting, and is really going to move people and move them to action. And
great. And can you tell us a little bit more of some of the features that are in this magazine that you didn't mention earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's the feature with Kat Bondi. She's the vegan tattoo artist, and she has a vegan, she has a cruelty-free makeup line that she's making vegan. And she... we photographed her at Farm Sanctuary, so she's with all these beautiful rescued animals. It's a really beautiful story, a really inspiring story. And there's travel stories on Prague, Warsaw, and Vancouver. There's a feature on coyotes, foxes, and wolves, and their sentience and how they're persecuted unfairly, even though many people don't realize they're actually cousins of the domestic dog. There's a really awesome feature that I love about that's a series of conversations between vegans from different generations, vegan trailblazers like Mark Beckoff, and vegan teens. So they exchange like really interesting perspectives and ideas on vegan history and vegan future. It's just another example. It ties in with the unity issue and another example of cross-pollinating ideas, and I think it's really important to get the perspective of different generations. There's really beautiful food stories. There's a really beautiful food story about that's really kind of like also – it ties in also with the unity theme that's really like vegetable forward and inspired by kind of the bounty of the plant kingdom. There's a really wonderful interview with activist Mark Chang, who is fighting the dog meat trade in Asia. You may have heard, is a really poignant interview with him. And a feature with Tony Canal, who's the bassist for No Doubt. He's a vegan musician and activist who has a
Julie, that sounds great. I'm very excited to hear about it, and we're out of time.
Okay.
So thanks for joining me so much, and
absolutely.
The best of luck with Laika Magazine, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. That was Julie Guerra-Seva. Be well. And I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I just wanted to mention before we go, at responsibleeatingandliving.com, my nonprofit, we just hit day 500 of our daily blog, What Vegans Eat. So I hope you're reading it, enjoying it, and we post every day what we eat here in my family at Responsible Eating and Living, with recipes and ideas for you. Hope you're enjoying it. Thanks for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass, and remember, tune in live here at Progressive Radio Network, tuning in love, and have a delicious week.